Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Father God, I thank you for your presence right here, right now. Holy Spirit, sometimes we give it for granted. But Lord, I just want to acknowledge you. I just want to honor you. Lord, I humble myself before you, knowing that without you moving, without you filling my mouth, Lord, I can't do anything. So Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that you will help me to share what you place on my heart. And Lord, I pray for your people to have their hearts ready to receive what is coming. Amen. Lord, I bind any distraction.
Yeah.
Amen. I bind anything that is an hindrance from people to hearing, to seeing, to experiencing your presence.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just leave it in your hand now. Lord, I just want to please you. I just want to honor you. And I give you praise and thank you for this opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
The title of my message today is Building for Eternity. Over my Christian walk, but even when I wasn't a Christian, I always been thinking in a way about what's happened after live, when we die, what's going to happen? What was that condition? And as I was blessed with learning things, doing studies, and under Pastor Tony ministry, there's been plenty of opportunity where he touched on eternities and he touched on rewards. So as my knowledge was growing, my desire also grew to know more and to actually apply things to my life. And when I was preparing for this message, I was hoping to prepare for a preaching that God said, I want you to share this message. So I'm going to open with Ecclesiastes 3:11. And it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. This scripture explains the reason why everyone has a belief that there must be something after our lives on earth. Some people will try to say the opposite, but in reality, they are fighting this feeling because they are aware that something is not right about the way they are living their lives.
Amen.
So why is eternity important? Because each human being will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell, and this condition will be permanent. What we do in this life will determine where and how we will spend eternity. Eternity is explained by the Oxford Dictionary as infinite, unending, a state to which time has no application, timeless. God created each one of us in a unique way and has given us the possibility to serve and follow Him. He gave us the free will and the abilities to be used by Him to build the church and advance His kingdom. One day we will receive our rewards in heaven. Our body will die, but our soul will last forever. Yeah. It is very important how we use our time. We can live with a worldly perspective, or we can live with an eternal perspective. In John 14, 3-6, he says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also might be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth and I'm the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. So Jesus is preparing a place in heaven, and the only way to go to heaven is through him.
Amen.
So what we need to do to build for eternity. My point number one is to stay focused and avoid distraction. In Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my brother and sister, stay firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Since the very beginning, the devil started to distract and deceive the children of God. Today, he's still operating the same way because he knows that if he succeeds, we will not work for God, we will not fight against him, and we will not advance the kingdom of God. But it doesn't matter how hard he tries, God always wins.
Correct.
Yeah. Amen?
Correct.
One of his many strategies is to give options to what God has instructed us to do. So what are the options? The options are, do the opposite of what God has asked you to do. I'll give you an example. Jesus tells us to pray. The devil will say, don't pray. You're too tired. Don't worry. Just go and get some rest. Jesus will tell us to fast. The devil will say to us, you need to eat, otherwise you will be too weak, and surely someone else is doing it, so it's okay. Jesus will tell us to stop the habitual sin that is affecting the relationship with him, but the devil will say, don't worry about it, nobody's perfect. Just don't tell anyone. Keep a secret. Because that's where he works, in the secret, in the dark. Another strategy that the enemy uses is entertainment. If you watch TV for more than 30 minutes, you will see how he uses programs to soften the hearts and minds of people towards those things that God is completely against. The devil tries to normalize sin and perversion, and the more people watch it, the more it becomes normality and society embraces it. You have a great example outside. The enemy uses TV and social media to plant seeds and desires in the heart of people. Some people buy stuff they can't afford or don't need, and they have their hearts hardened towards giving to God, support ministry, and charities. Some people have plenty of money for restaurants, holidays, sport channels, but when it comes about giving the offering tithe to God, suddenly they don't have enough. So don't let the enemy distract you from obey God and bless people, because these are eternal investments. Amen?
Amen?
When a person gets distracted, will start moving away from God, and the more away he goes, the more the sense of the more he loses away from God, the more he will lose the sense of purpose, and he will start feeling this sense, this emptiness inside of him with pleasure. There was a powerful quote that I came across a few months ago that really shocked me, because it gave me a lot to think. And it says, a man who lacks purpose distracts himself with pleasure. So I say one more time, a man who lacks purpose distracts himself with pleasure. So a man who doesn't understand what he's supposed to do, he feels like he doesn't have anything to do, so he feels it's okay to waste his time with things that pleases him, but maybe are against God. I got a great picture of the Colosseum. Even hundreds of years ago, entertainment was used with the purpose of distracting people from what was happening around them. The Roman built the Colosseum, which had a capacity of 50,000 seats. And the Colosseum hosted the very famous games. So even back in the days, they knew, let's give people something to be distracted with so that we can do whatever we want to do. And a poet actually mention a quote. It says, give them bread and circuses and they will never revolt. And even if it's a little bit political, I think that still apply in somehow to the church. Because if you can see this picture, you can see how the Colosseum for hundreds of years ago, and today we have stadiums where we have concerts, we have sports events. So things have changed, but at the same time, they're not really changed. The enemy still uses, as people use, the same element of destruction and entertainment.
Very good.
During a time of prayer, in preparation for today, God gave me something, and I saw like a picture, and I tried very hard to put it into words, but I failed. I could not put it to work. So what I done is I asked Kuya if he could help me to make what I saw, to visualize it so that everyone can see. So I hope that this video bless you. And I'll just move away so that you can see it.
When it lands, call it in the air.
Tails, what I'll be kicking.
It, yeah, let's just go with tails. Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Tom wins the toss, chooses to receive the Bible. Patterson back with the kick. Oh my goodness!
Whoa. It's just a temple. Syrup all over the communion. Care so much over the Bible too.
Y'all stop acting like you care about this. I mean, man, stop acting like this matters to you.
He said there's 100 people in this building that will sow $1,033 because you understand that we are in a movement. Hurry up, Tanya. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. I gotta stop. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come on this side. Hurry. I don't know how other people do it, but I have to do it under the anointing when it lifts. You at home, 1,033. 300 of you all. That's what he said.
This is honey and favor. Supernatural divine honey. Supernatural favored honey. This is not ordinary honey. The honey you have in your house is ordinary. But this one is loaded with power and blessing and prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Jesus' name is inside this honey.
Now you can understand why I find it very hard to put it inside when you see church, because that was church. That was supposed to be a place that humble before God. That should be a place that manifests the power of God because His presence is moving. And it becomes a circus. And we are surprised in a way because we don't see God moving.
Have mercy, Lord.
While Jesus and the Holy Spirit are kicked out from some churches, and many pastors and prophets have been exposed and are falling, Romans 2:24 hit me in a way like never before. God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. We are called as the body of Christ to manifest God's power. But when this doesn't happen, Jesus is kicked out from our schools and our society. Jesus and his name is openly mocked in the front of the whole, in front of the whole world, like the Olympics. The true church needs to rise up for the people to see Jesus.
Amen.
The way he is, not the way he's misrepresented. Amen. That's why we, as the body of Christ, we can't get distracted. We can't be entertained by these type of things as many other, because we have a mission. But through it all, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm blessed, and I tell you why I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm part of a church that worship God and don't entertain people. I'm blessed to be part of a church that pray and don't play. I'm blessed to be part of a church that honor God and not man. I'm blessed to be part of a church that make disciples and not Facebook, TikTok, Instagram followers. I'm blessed to be part of a church that pursue God and not church attendance. I'm blessed to be part of a church that kneel in front of God and stand against evil. And a church that is not afraid to call what is wrong, wrong. Church, welcome to church. Okay? We are not perfect, but Lord, we are available. And also, let's be grateful for our pastors and our leaders, because we can't take it for granted. There's so much going on out there that is deceiving people. So we are blessed. Point number two, build with an eternal perspective. We had a powerful series a few weeks ago where Pastor Tony was sharing about building a life well built, where he used the scripture in Matthew 7:24-27, and it was about the wise builder and the foolish builder. The one was building on a rock, the other one was building on the sand. And as I was as I listened to that message, I could not stop thinking about how hard was for the man to actually build on a rock. Can you imagine how hard it must have been to actually dig into the rock to build a solid structure for their house? How much time, how much effort and work must have been taken to build? But at the same time, I was thinking how easier, how quicker, how much less effort the guy that was building on the sand must have put into it. But time will test all that we do.
Yeah.
As I was keep thinking about all these dynamics, I felt the Lord showing me how the Bible is the foundation on which we need to dig in. The Holy Spirit will help us to build a solid structure made of character, perseverance, and faith.
Amen.
The most valuable things needs to be dug up. We need to dig into the Word of God, because there is great treasures hidden into prayers and into the Word of God. When we understand this, we fully embrace Jesus and we are happy to give up everything, knowing that he is our greatest reward.
Amen.
I'm just going to share a true story, and it's called Acres of Diamond. And it's the story of a Persian man called Ali. He was a very wealthy man and had a beautiful family. One day, one priest made a visit to the farmer, and he spent most of his time talking about diamonds, about their beauty and about their value. So Ali grew so engrossed about the thought of owning his own diamond mind, that a seed of discontentment grew into his heart. So he was happy before, then all of a sudden he hears this story and he's not happy anymore with his life. So he sold this farm, he left his family with the neighbor, and sent off on a long life quest for diamonds. After searching several countries, he stood in rags at the bay in Barcelona, and he took his own life. He had spent all his money, he had nothing left and nothing to show for. It was a tragic story, but the sad part has to come. Soon after Ali left Persia, the man who purchased his farm led his camel to a garden brook for a drink. As the camel drank from the shallow water, he uncovered an interesting stone. Thinking it was beautiful, he polished it and set it on the mantle over the fire. When the same priest came back, recognized straight away the diamond, and together they started to sift through the garden, and they found another, and they found another. Beneath Ali's farm sat the greatest diamond mine of Golconda. The crown jewels of England and Russia would come from that mine. It was the largest discovery of a diamond mine in the world at that time. So this story is so powerful because sometimes we can think that what we have is not enough and we need to move and do all the things somewhere else, when in fact we need to just dig deeper. We need to put the effort, the time to dig deeper. The mistake that people can do is not to fully understand that in Jesus that is all we need. People look for something that will only distract them to waste time until it's too late. But today, there's still time. Amen. My third point is fulfill God's purpose for your life. Isaiah 46:10 says, I make know the end from the beginning, from ancient time, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I'm pleased. Revelation 1:8, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for each one of us and knows every detail about our lives. In fact, God knows things about yourself that even you don't know about. But it is our responsibility and decision to walk and seek Him to fulfill our purpose in this time given to us. Sometimes it's not the easiest things to do, but it will be worth it. Yeah. People might have planned for their own lives and keep delaying their response to God. But the reality is, we don't know when our time is up. People can make the sad choice to leave God out of their lives, but this will come with a big consequence. Everything can be taken away from us any time. We can lose our house, we can lose our saving, we can lose our family and friends, we can lose our job, we can lose our own life. But the only things that no one can take away from you is Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Luke 12:16-21. And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger one. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain like that for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But when God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Sometimes we can fall into the mistake of thinking too much ahead of things and having that thinking impacting our lives without knowing, in fact, how much we have left. But do you know, actually, that believer can lose their rewards? Because that's something a few years ago God started to talk to me about. He says, you know, some believer will make it to heaven, which is good. But what is not so good is that they will lose their rewards. In 1 Corinthians 3, 12, 15, if anyone build on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be sure for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survive, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet they will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Have mercy, Lord. So it's not just about what we are building, but how we are building, for who we are building, and our reason for building. If we are paying the price for Jesus, we will know has eternal value. If we do it for ourselves, for our ego, trying to please people and showing off, this will not. A lot of things that we do for God in the secret, away from people's eye, will have great value to God. Each believer in Jesus that surrenders its life will gain much when we see him face to face. Sometimes we will see the result of our efforts in this life, but sometime we will have to wait. Noah was mocked for many years because people could not understand why and what he was doing. But God gave him an instruction. He gave him a vision. And even if it took him a long time, a lot of labor, a lot of sacrifice, he was focused to follow what God had said to him. Amen. But the time came for him to see the results of his obedience. My brother and sister, the time will come when we will see the result of our efforts and sacrifice. People might mock your faith in Jesus. Earthquake in life will test your foundation. Storm will test the life you're building upon Jesus. But if you allow it, God will finish what he has started in your life. Amen. And God will give you the strength that you need. It's not our strength, it's his strength. Amen. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So all we do is obedience, is surrender to him, Amen. Knowing that he will provide the strength that we need to fulfill our purpose, because he's the one who gave us purpose in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got a video that I found very useful. It was shown a few years ago, and it really helped me to have an idea of when we'll see Jesus face to face could look like. Because yes, Jesus is our Savior, but is also our judge.
Question. What are you called to do? I ask that question because we won't be judged according to what we did in life, but rather what we were called to do in life. Imagine with me standing before the throne of God and a scenario like this occurred. Evangelist Anderson, come forth and give an account of your stewardship on earth. Evangelist Anderson, I'm not an evangelist. I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. Evangelist Anderson, where are the 347,566 souls I called you to impact in Asia, son? Where are they? I'm an accountant. I had an accounting firm. I help churches. I help ministries with their finances, son. Where are the 347,566 souls in Asia I called you to impact? Son, where are they? Had you saw me, had you saw my face, I would have revealed this to you. And everything in regards to that man's calling was burned up before the judgment seat of Christ. Accountant Jones, step forward and give an account of your stewardship. Accountant Jones?
No, I'm not.
I pastored for 35 years. I had a membership of 750 people. Accountant Jones, I called you to the marketplace. Had you done this, you would have significantly impacted two people. You and those two men would have helped churches with their finances, and those churches would have impacted 751,321 souls. If you would have sought me, I would have revealed this to you. And again, in regards to this man's calling, everything he's done in life would be burnt up before the judgment seat of Christ. Sister Smith, come forth and give an account of your stewardship. I only raised three children. I never preached to nations. I never even been on a missionary trip. I only tried my hardest to raise my children in your way. I never called you to preach to nations. I never called you to go to other countries on missionary trips. I called you to raise three children. And let me show you the 1,579,541 souls those three children impacted. You sought me, and you heard my voice. You were obedient to my call. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So remember, in regards to the calling that's on your life, you won't be judged according to what you did. You'll be judged according to what you were called to do.
Doesn't matter how many times I watch it, still got me caught up. It. Just gonna let that sink in for a second, shall we? See, the thing about this video, yeah, if you can have the band back, thank you. Well done, Lucy. The thing about this video It was the fact that he says, if you would have sought me, I would have shown you. Which, after watching this, I literally don't know how many times I watched it. I realized that the first two men didn't saw God. They didn't seek him. They didn't hear his voice. And they start doing their own things through their life that they thought it was the right thing. But then in that moment, they found out that it wasn't. When on the other hand, the woman at the end, she saw God, heard the voice, and she gave everything she had to raise those three children. And I said in the first service, and I'm going to say it again, I think sometimes as Christians, we can underestimate how God sees us raising children in their ways. Sometimes we think that we have to do something incredible. Sometimes we think that we have to do so many, many, many things that actually for God are less important. And actually God is giving value and sees everything. We have two young girls and we made a lot of sacrifices, a lot of time. For years we could not be able to do things that we wanted to do. And there was a sense of discontent in our hearts because I was thinking, but I wanted to do this, but I wanted to do that. And then I found peace when God says, you are and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Sometime, especially women, but there's also single parents that they are daddies or stuff like that. You might feel like all I'm doing is raising children. All my effort, all my time is to raising these children. But God sees it as a wonderful, powerful way. We are raising the next generation.
Amen.
Of believers.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable thing you don't know. What does it say? If we seek him, that we will see things and he will show us things. But also that if we call upon him, it will answer us. And my prayer is for all of us to fulfill our purpose and hear from Jesus, well done, my faithful servant. Before I conclude, I just want to say that it is only by faith in Jesus and what he has done on the cross that we are saved. Religion will not save your soul. Only Jesus will. Religion is a man-made way to earn making a way to into heaven by action without accepting that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross for our salvation. We are saved by faith in Jesus, not by works. True believers have a relationship with Jesus developed in the secret place. In the secret place, God puts in our hearts the desire to lay down our lives for him. In that secret place, God revealed things to us. In that secret place, he also revealed to us those things that needs to be removed from our lives. As I was finished the message, God gave me a picture of a Trojan horse. And he says, do you know what is keeping you from building for eternity? Distraction and destruction. And I had the picture of this Trojan horse. So in the Greek mythology, the Trojan horse was a wooden horse said to have been used by the Greeks during the Trojan War to enter the city of Troy and win the war. After a fruitless 10 years siege, the Greek constructed a huge wooden horse and hid a select forces of men inside. The Greeks pretended to sail away, and the Trojans pulled the horse inside their city as a sign of victory. But that night, the Greek soldiers came out of the horse while everyone was distracted and opened the gates for the rest of the Greek army to enter in, which had sailed back under the cover of darkness. The Greeks entered and destroyed the city, ending the war. For 10 years, the Greek tried and they could not do anything until they used deception. They used destruction that led to destruction.
Jesus.
So what's the meaning of this? My brother and sister, this is a strategy that the enemy has been using to attack someone's life. Some people have been fighting and did well for a time, but accepted something that they thought was from God, but it wasn't from God. And this can be a job that took away time from God, a relationship that is causing you to sin against God. Maybe it's pride and complacency that creeps in while we get distracted. Maybe it's compromise that allow pleasure and addiction to keep you away from God. Someone got distracted and the enemy brought destruction. But today, if you follow into this, if this picture that God gave me resonates with you, if you're willing to let go, God will set you free from the enemy. God will rebuild what the enemy has destroyed. God will heal your wounds. And God will redeem the time that was stolen from you. Whatever is keeping you away from God, whatever is keeping you from pursuing God,
yeah,
whatever is keeping you from honoring God in your life, is not from God.
That's right.
It needs to go.
That's right.
So, Father, I thank you for today, Lord. Lord, I pray that I communicate your message in a way that that bless your people.
Oh, Jesus.
Lord, I pray, oh God, that you will lead us, oh God, that you will place in our hearts the desire to enter into that secret place as much as we can. Not because we have to, but because we want to.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for our ears to be attentive to your voice. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and our mind will be ready to receive what you have in store for us. Lord, I thank you that you don't keep things from us. You don't hide things from us. But you hiding things for us. Lord, I pray for those who struggle with distraction and all sort of things. Almighty God, Lord, I pray, oh God, that they will deal with it. Lord, I pray that you will deal with it. And Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that you will lead each one of us to fulfill our purpose, oh God. Because we know, God, that our purpose is to preach the gospel. It's for the lost to be saved. But Lord, we know that we can't do this without you.
No.
So Lord, I pray, oh God, give us the focus that we need to look to you, God. Help us to remember the sacrifice that you paid for us so that we could be free, so that we could be effective, so that we could work for you. So that one day, Almighty God, we will have the eternal reward that you promised to your faithful servant, God. Lord, I give you all the praise and all the glory. If we just all rise up, going to enter into worship. And I just want to give the opportunity to everyone who feel God has moved. If you feel like the Holy Spirit has shown you things that has to be dealt with, things that you maybe don't even know about. If you know that there is something that is a stronghold, that is an hindrance, that is keeping you away from God. If it's any struggle, if it's any addiction, if it's any witchcraft, if it's any sexual immorality, any unforgiveness, anger, pride, depression. I said in the first service, I know that someone who has nightmares as well. You're not sleeping very well at night. Come, lay it down at the altar. Leave it at Jesus' feet. Let Him set you free.
Amen.
Because that's not your portion. That is what is keeping you from fulfilling your purpose. The enemy is trying to use something to steal your reward. Deal with it before it's too late. Call upon the name of Jesus. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Yeshua. Yeshua.